Ladies and gentlemen, we are late by 6 minutes. Thank you once more, honorable members, and I was made to understand that we have 5 provinces here who are going to make, which are going to make a presentation in terms of the progress made so far in terms of benefits for military veterans, and what we are going to start by doing is to introduce ourselves, our provinces, and our role. My name is Malusi Stanley Mutimele, the chairperson of this portfolio committee. Honorable members, Honorable Bongo, can you start introducing yourselves in that order?
Yes, I'm Thomas Bongo, a member of this committee and a member of the Joint Standing Committee on Defense.
Good morning, Shahid Issa, member of the committee.
Morning, my name is Prokos, I'm a member of the committee.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Can we then go to the provinces? The Mr. Max Ozinski.
When you were saying provinces, but I'm Max Ozinski. I'm the acting director general in the Department of Military Veterans. And then,
My name is Alex Mahapa, the deputy director general in military veterans dealing with the benefits.
I am William Chiana from the National Department of Human Settlement.
I'm Spidi Mashila, the MEC for Human Settlement in the province of Mpumalanga.
I'm Kiboni Masangi, the HOD of Human Settlements in the province of Mpumalanga. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. I'm Dalutanga Mbendu, Human Settlements, Eastern Cape.
Good morning, Sir President members. My name is Ephraim Motoko, HOD for Local Government and Human Settlements, Northwest Province.
Morning, Chair. My name is... my name is Tim Mokhesi, HOD Human Settlement, Free State.
Morning, my name is Susie Eku, Human Settlements, Free State. Morning. My name is Cyril Munyela, Deputy Director General, Office of the Premier in the Free State, dealing with military veterans.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. My name is Vusi Bidi, Acting Chief Director, Northwest Human Settlements. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, as well as all other honorables, the colleagues. My name is Oratele Ntavile, Department of Local Government and Human Settlements in the Northwest.
Good morning, honorable members, colleagues. My name is Kamogetse Maruping, from Department of Local Government and Human Settlement, Northwest.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Tumi Mabalane from the National Department of Human Settlements, working on the Ministry of Veterans Program. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Martin Mapisa. I work for the National Department of Human Settlements Military Veterans Section.
Good morning. My name is Hazel Zita. I am from Mpumalanga, Department of Human Settlements. I'm the Chief Director.
Morning, Chair and the members. My name is Mashudu Bija from National Treasury Public Finance, looking after defense and military veterans.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Randana Randela from the National Treasury Public Finance.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. I'm Smakale Mwahludi, Department of Military Veterans, Office of the DG. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Nodobe Komafu from Department of Military Veterans. I'm the DDG Empowerment and Stakeholder Management. Thank you.
Morning, Chair and all. Mbulelo Musi, Head of Communication, DMV.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Peter Nkavin, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Office of the Minister for Defense and Military Veterans.
We done?
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Elijah Tele from Provincial KZN Department of Human Settlement, responsible for special project which includes military veterans. What problem then?
Chairperson, good morning. My name is Linki Moshala. I'm the Head of Office of the MEC for Human Settlements in Mpumalanga.
Morning, Chair, committee members. I'm Mr. Buey, Fumanekile Buey, regional chairperson of Mkondo West Izwe Military Veterans in the Western Cape.
Has all everybody introduced themselves? Thank you very much. I see that we have a very big delegation and very relevant. Indeed, we appreciate the kind of response that we're getting from the department, also from the provinces. I'm not sure because my idea was that we're going to talk to the provinces, but we also have a department here. I'm not sure as to whether you want to open for the provinces, and then we take it from there. Mr. Ozinski?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would just like to say a few words. We did prepare a presentation, but I don't want to go through the whole presentation. Let me say up front, Chairperson, that we really welcome this engagement, and that in preparing for this engagement, it helps us to identify some of the problems and challenges in our relationship and also our own internal issues in terms of delivering houses to military veterans. So really what I want to say is that there is a lot of work to be done between DMV, the National Department of Human Settlements, and the Provincial Departments of Human Settlements in getting this issue right. And we have started a process of engaging. I think one of the issues is to get all the structures of engagement on the right level. So, Chairperson, in terms of our presentation, and Alex, could you just go to the first slide? The first thing is that there is a memorandum of understanding between DMV and DHS. Okay? And the aim of that is to sort out the and to provide a framework for delivery of houses to military veterans. Then there are service level agreements between DMV and the different provinces, which is to put into effect the MOU at a national level and to try and ensure that the roles are clarified. Essentially what happens is DMV should be providing a list of eligible beneficiaries to the provinces, and we also provide top-up money to the subsidy that's provided by the National Department of Human Settlements. And then the actual delivery is done by the provincial departments under the coordination of the National Department of Human Settlements. Then if we go to the next slide, which outlines what the governance structures should be. At the first level, there's a political steering committee, which consists of the deputy ministers of human settlements and military veterans. And then that is meant to give us political direction in solving the problems and issues that might arise. That structure should be meeting once a quarter, and we want to see what steps we can take to activate that structure. Let me say that without infringing on the executive authority's mandate, I think we need to also look at whether the MECs should not be part of that to unlock some of the problems at a provincial level. Then there's an accounting officers forum between myself as the acting DG and the DG of human settlements and the heads of departments in the provinces. Again, that structure needs to be starting to function as per its mandate. And then lastly, there should be a structure, the operational task team, which is between the DDGs of human settlements and the provincial, DMV, and then also the program managers from a provincial level. Again, we need that structure to work. Chair, then if I can just go to the last slide, which looks at some of the interventions that we're suggesting from DMV side. Let me say, Chairperson, that from the side of DMV, we are having a look at our policies in terms of a number of policies, including the policy on the provision of houses to military veterans. And we're hoping that in a short period of time, within a week or so, we should have finalized changes to the policy to take into account some of the issues we've identified as problems in the delivery of houses. We're looking again at criteria of who benefits from houses so that we ensure that the most destitute military veterans benefit. We're looking at issues like the means test, issues of whether veterans have previously received assistance making changes in terms of the policy in terms of that. We're also going to be looking at what we actually allocate in the various areas of housing delivery, so how much we allocate to top up the subsidy from Department of Human Settlements, how much we would in terms of bond assistance allocate, in terms of repair assistance allocate. But the main focus of changing the policy is to focus on the poorest of the poor amongst the military veterans. So we hope that process will be sorted out soon. Then I think that will allow us to more effectively spread the budget that we have for this year in terms of the policy, because we're facing a severe budget crunch at the moment. With 4 or 5 months left of the financial year, we need to ensure that we deliver on our targets, but we don't have sufficient money to, with the current policy, to deliver the target. So that's part of the changes to the policies, and we'll let the portfolio committee have that once we've finished with the process. DDG Mahapa is leading that process, and he's already made a proposal to us, and we'll sort that out. Then, Chair, just in terms of some key interventions from our side, we need to also look at emergency housing assistance, because there are military veterans that don't have any shelter at the moment, and we need to be able to intervene with the National Department of Human Settlements and the Provincial Departments urgently on that. We're looking at how we transfer funds to provinces. And I must say that this has been a real complication in the process. In the past, we've transferred money. It hasn't been used, and it's gone back to National Treasury, and we've lost that money. So what we're looking at is a system where we only transfer money on completion of building and the presentation of invoices, so that we can't be losing the money. We're also looking at mechanisms to ensure that the money that we transfer is linked to individual beneficiaries and specific houses that they will benefit from, rather than transferring lump sums that we're not aware of. Then also we're looking at how we can provide houses to military veterans who want to purchase their own house, and that will be part of the policy changes. We're also looking at the issue of critical repairs for military veterans, because there are quite a number of military veterans who approach us where their houses are falling apart or the houses are partially completed, and we need to give assistance in that regard. And then how we can assist military veterans to build themselves on their own sites, because at the moment our focus has been to basically greenfield projects where a developer is appointed, and then we expect the developer to pay, and the military veterans are excluded from those processes. So, Chairperson, those are that's a summary from our side of the kind of interventions we're dealing with. I think the provinces will raise in their presentations from their side some of the issues that we've been dealing with. They've been dealing with in terms of the delivery. The last point I want to say is that critical to all of this is our database of military veterans, because we need to have the information which is verified, and we are assured of the quality of that information, that we can say to the National Department of Human Settlements, in this year, these are the people that qualify to get houses under these programs. Please build for them. Our target in the APP is 1,000 houses this year. I must say at present we're way below that target. And what we're looking at with these interventions is how to really push up our performance by the end of the financial year. And we're going to engage with DHS on ensuring that we have 1,000 verified names that meet our criteria and their criteria. If we can get that right, I think we'll unlock the other issues easily. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I know that you must be receiving news that Donald Trump has been elected the president of U.S. That should not disturb you. You must go on. It has got nothing to do with the service delivery. Thank you very much. We are going to ask, thank you very much, Mr. Osinski. We are going to ask the provinces to make their presentations, and we are going to ask you to make your presentation in terms of back to basics, service delivery, Matupili, amongst others. You talk about your budget, you talk about your institutions. You must also tell us about your memorandum of understanding and says level agreements. What is the nature of those agreements between yourselves, the Department of DMV and Human Settlement? Your means test, tell us about your achievements as to whether you have achieved your targets or you are going to achieve your targets. I understand there is a target for 2016, 2017, 1,000 houses. Am I right? Is it doable? Is it achievable? I think we will take all the provinces, honorable members, in that line and then see as to whether they are in that framework. We'll start with you, Mpumalanga. Honorable MEC Mpumalanga.
Well, Chairperson, thank you very much for this great opportunity, and to honorable members and all our administrators. Well, Chair, we are happy, and I've just joined the department soon, but I think we are discussing a very important matter. I think generally we do understand the policy areas that you have just mentioned and what the national just presented. But I think it's a challenge that across the provinces we've seen is at the level of municipalities around the issue of land availability of sites. And that's what probably centralized majority of the problems, where individual members they prefer to stay the particular area and municipalities are not able to provide that site, nor the site's expenses. And that's a matter which I think we're dealing with. As for the province, there are a number of municipalities, and I think the precise was Emalahleni, and I think the report will be presented as such. This is semi-township or a semi-town municipality where there was a problem of land. And we have since made sure that our mayors understand the importance of this military veterans accommodation. And I'm happy in some response we are now beginning to get from the mayors. They are now involved. Because the matter in the main was left to administrators, technocrats. You'll understand they want to follow the procedure to them. And I'm happy in other areas they've already came back to indicate there is land available free of charge for these individual smelters, which I think will make the targets that provinces have set to be more active in terms of the appointed contractors. And I think the details report that is going to be presented individuals might reflect all the aspects that the chairperson has said, because we fully agree with your concerns. This, we can no longer leave this matter unattended. It's quite critical. And thanks very much, Chairperson. I'll allow my HOT here, as you correctly said, I'll then present as you said.
Thank you very much, HOD. Is your mic not working? Oh, yeah, I see. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and honorable members, for the opportunity to present the progress made with regards to the implementation of the Military Veterans Program in the Department of Human Settlements in Mpumalanga. Honorable Chairperson, as the background, we are stating that the Department of Human Settlements started implementing the Military Veterans Program in 2014. And we are also reporting that the Provincial Steering Committee was established to support and monitor the execution of this program. And the steering committee is composed of officials from the Mpumalanga Department of Human Settlements and the Department of Military Veterans and the Provincial South African National Military Veterans Association, SAMVA. We are also reporting, as you indicated, that the department entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Military Veterans. And we are reporting that the MOU makes provision of the following. that the provincial department makes provides 110,000 subsidies to qualifying beneficiaries, and the Department of Military Veterans is also making provision of an amount as top-up funding of 78,884 beneficiaries. We are reporting that in the previous financial year, there was a total amount of 13.8 million, which was received from DMVA as top-up funding, which catered for 173 units. Service providers were appointed in December 2014 to start with the implementation of the program. However, the actual implementation of the program started in the year 2015-2016. The department is currently building a 50 square meter house with tiled floors, a carport, kitchen unit, stove, and 30 square meter perimeter fence. The cost of this house is, as prescribed, 188,884,000 rand. We are just giving an indication of a house which is in Chief Albert Tuli municipality. That's just to show the it's a newly built house. And we are also saying that the approved alternative plans, they make provision for a 60 square meter house, excluding a carport, at the same quantum as requested by some of the beneficiaries. Honorable Chairperson and members, we want to look into this slide and report to say in 2015-2016, we had a planned target as the province of 126 units to be built. However, the actual that was delivered in 2015-2016 was 79 units. And we had a carryover of 47 in 2016-2017, which made a target for 2016-2017 150. We are also reporting that currently we are sitting with 22 completions and 22 at roof level, and we don't have ruins to operate. And we've got about 106 that have not been touched, but we want to report that we have appointed the contractors. They are currently working with various stakeholders, such as the municipalities, as the Honorable MEC has already indicated, to construct 66 of the 106 houses. This project is contracted. And we also want to report that it is the intention of the Mpumalanga Human Services Department that we finish all the houses that are supposed to be built for the military veterans before the end of the financial year, that is March 2017. Honorable Chairperson members, we want to look into some of the challenges that we face as the department, which lead to a sort of an underperformance of the program of military veterans in the province. We are reporting that in certain instances, beneficiaries are unhappy with the product that we are giving them, which is the product that we have agreed with various stakeholders, particularly the size of the house, depending on where the person resides. And some of the persons that are residing in rural areas, inevitably their yards are big, and they feel that the size of 50 square meters or 60 square meters is too small. And that actually leads to the delay of the implementation of the program, seeking a cooperation from the said beneficiary for the contractor to proceed with the house on site. Unfortunately, the person who bears the brunt is the contractor that will be contracted to build that particular house. There has been unavailability of sites in certain areas. Emalahleni is one of them, and Msukalikwa is one of the municipalities where we're experiencing unavailability of sites. Some of the military veterans, as they are approved, they are actually based in certain municipalities, where those municipalities might not necessarily have readily available sites serviced with appropriate services. And we are saying that this has been attended to. In Emalahleni, for example, Honorable Chairperson and members, we have serviced 6,000 sites from the previous financial year and this financial year, and we are currently putting bulk infrastructure, and we'll be building the houses for military veterans in some of those sites. In Msukalikwa, there was an issue of a dispute between the developer, contracted by the municipality and the municipality, and we have since resolved that, and the contractors will move on site and build those houses. There has been also, I don't want to call it unreliable, I'll say insufficient information on the database provided by the Department of Minister and Veterans for some of the identified beneficiaries, particularly with specific information such as where the location of that particular beneficiary is, the town, the municipality, the community, where that particular beneficiary is located, and as well as the contact number. And that actually delays the implementation of the program. The department has also, as remedial actions, amended some of the building plans in preparation of the 2016-2017 projects, which were supported by the steering committee and approved, as well as in consultation with the beneficiaries. They are quite a fancy kind of customers, and they want things the way they want them to be done. And we also try to accommodate them as much as possible within the fiscal resources of the department. And some of the sites, as I've already indicated, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, have been availed at Emalahleni, and we are ready to commence with the construction of those houses. Currently, as we speak, we have actually contracted out 66 houses to be built, and we believe that the contractors are currently on site to commence with the project. In Sukalikwa, as well, that particular project has been resolved, the problem has been resolved, and we are going to be proceeding with the building of houses for military veterans in that part of the province. We are saying also, as part of the issue of the database, we are currently in discussion as part of the National Task Team with our colleagues in the Department of Military Veterans, and we believe that this is above board, we'll be able to resolve some of those details, such as the contact information and the locality of the beneficiaries in the province. And we are also saying, as the province, we have also facilitated the process of identifying, we didn't just sit back, of identifying and also verifying some of those people that have been supplied to us in the database. And the process has been finalized, as I've already indicated, that we have actually appointed 66, as we speak, which is verified beneficiaries. We'll be supplying the Department of Military Veterans with the actual details of the people, the actual locality of the areas where we are going to be building, together with the National Department of Human Settlement. Honorable Chairperson, we want to report that this project is actually a critical project. As the province of Mwanan, we have actually set ourselves a target that come end of this financial year, we should have completed all the houses for all the military veterans that have been verified and where the sites have been identified. So we are committing to this program, and we believe that some of the challenges that we had, we are currently resolving them, and all the processes are currently underway, and it is doable for this particular project to be completed before the end of the financial year. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, HOD. Straight to the point. And, just in time. Can we go to KZN? KZN, who do we have? MECU, HOD? Thank you very much, HOD. Over to you. You can come this way. I understand.
I'm the HOD for Human Settlements in KZN. Our MEC couldn't make it, Ravi Pillay. He's in the Ladysmith area where they are having the by-elections. And there's been a few no incidents of violence, so that's why he was deployed there. So, sincere apology for him. I'll just go straight on to the introduction. No, Honourable Chairperson, I think because the military veterans housing policy and all the high standards that the military veterans were demanding was taking so long, then since 2008 the province had to come up with its own policy for housing for military veterans. With the result, we did build 121 houses between 2008 to 2012 for military veterans, but it was the standard spec of the time. So as part of our rollout, we are going back to these military veterans. We know exactly who they are, exactly where they live, so we can improve the house. Some of them would have had the 30 square meter or the 40 square meter, so now they will all get the extended to 50 square meter, the plastering inside and outside, and the fence and all the nice things that is part of the current spec for military veterans. These are all those that declared themselves to be military veterans on the application form, and we had evidence that they were either unemployed, pensioners, disabled, and as long as they were earning below 3,005. So, but we have got a strategy now which is based on the current policy of military veterans, which we strategized in as far back as 2014. We're just having a problem with this computer.
No, continue with
okay.
Your hard copy.
Okay, thanks. So our strategy now, I must say our strategy is very contained and very frustrating. That's why we are so slow, and yet for all our instruments, whether it's rural housing or doesn't matter what type of housing project we're doing, we are very fast-moving. But this one, we are just so slow and such a failure, you know, we can't believe it. And a fundamental problem is the fact that we have to depend on the 78,000 from another department. And where that wouldn't be a problem, but because they can only give a small number of units per annum, they can only give you 128 houses, the top up for that. So it forces us to only build 170, whereas we could build for 1,000 a year. If we were just using our own subsidy monies. But be that as it may, I mean, that's a national challenge, I'm sure. But in terms of the slide you're looking at, number two, which will say KZN budget and DMV top-up funding on the top there, we are currently using the new spec, which is 164,169 rand, which is for all the planning, the raw land costs, the construction of the site, to service it and to actually build a 50 square with the carport. And we are using the new energy saving spec, so it is a beautiful house. We do have at least a show house to show you. And we do have the top up funding for at least 150, but we don't have for the rest. And we have budgeted for this year, 2016-17 to 2018-19, for the 3 years, 134 million. That's just from the HSDG, our own grant money. And that's for 530 military veterans. But there are a lot of veterans, you know, across all, from Zandla, MK, and UPLA, including the old SANDF and the TBVC states. So our program of commitment is for all of them. But with some of the things that my colleague here was saying in a letter we received from the DG, we can see we can do hundreds more and not be constrained anymore by the 50 square meter, the weight for the top up for the 50 square meter. So we do have a plan, but I'll explain it later. And just to say that, Chairperson, we together with SAMVA KZN, we did have a joint steering committee which was making all the decisions together. And I can assure you it's very frustrating because in as much as they are very well organized, SAMVA KZN, I think there's a lot of competition because it's only 120 units per year. There's so much competition that who's going to be first? Who's the first of the 120? So that wasted months of time just verifying and deciding and prioritizing. And at the same time, we as the department were insisting it must be the older comrades, it must be those who are very sick, very disabled. you know, they must be prioritized and unemployed. So it took a really long time. It wasted, as I say, months to get that right. And then we were also constrained because the military veterans say nothing for us without us. And they've got so many companies which are registered. They get contracts from public works and other government departments. So they have high CRDB gradings and financial muscle. So they wanted to be involved. So it was fine. We agreed. They nominated the company point above who we have appointed. And I did ask the Secretariat of Parliament if we could invite him. Maybe Parliament could hear just how challenging it is to build such a few houses scattered all over. It's so easy to plan for 50 houses in one ward. But now there's two there, there's three on the hill, there's, you know, it's that wastes a lot of time and money. But be that as it may, we have a solution around it. So we appointed a point above. It has a CID grading of 6, which is very high for this type of project. The CEO is a military veteran himself, Comrade Lungelo. He also has a civil engineering qualification. He complies with all supply chain and PFMA, you know, those standards they have to meet. And we did notify the Auditor General and Provincial Treasury. They investigated the company and they were satisfied that, you know, they meet the standards. And they meet Section 16A. No, we don't go out on tender. You use that one for unsolicited bid or special circumstances. So now what we are doing as part of our strategy to break out of the 120 and all these constraints that were holding us back, we are now using the enhanced people's housing process. We have signed a contract with, a memorandum of understanding with Itala Development Finance Corporation. They are a public entity, it's a government structure. In the province, it's known as Itala Bank, where we transfer the money to them. Then they pay all these little subcontractors who are building the houses in all these scattered areas. They make sure these are military veteran subcontractors, and they are, the military veterans are involved in all stages of the construction and the planning. And the point above now provides the technical support, all the engineering services, all the everything to make sure that we build that house solid and good and it lasts for the next 50 years. I'll skip some of these. Oh, and then just to say, when we sent the presentation, we did attach the list of 223 military veterans who are approved on the DMV. They are verified and they are approved also on HSS. In other words, they meet all the criteria. So we are ready to build for 223. And the only major second obstruction besides the limit of 120 is the fact that many of them wanted us to come and build where they were staying, but they didn't have a decent site for 50 square meter. So we had to give them a service site that we, the department, owned, and we were relying a lot on Itiquini because the majority of the comrades who qualify and meet the criteria, you know, of being very old, you know, all the other criteria I already mentioned. But unfortunately, the city is being exceptionally difficult and taking very long to give us the site. And there's been a lot of intervention to get them to give us the site. But they're not keen to do it. They won't say no. They just, you know, take their own time. And we are needing sites in African townships because a lot of the comrades who are very old and not keen on going into, I know it's the wrong thing to say, but I have to say it, to live in an Indian township just because there's a service site there, or previously white township or a suburb, or previously a colored township, because that's where most of the sites are that we own as a department. And the city is owning most of the sites in the African townships, like Kwamashu, the established ones, Mlazi, Hambanati, and so on. So that is the biggest, second biggest stumbling block. But anyway, just on a positive note, we do have, unfortunately the slides are not numbered, but slide number 6, we do have comrades who are willing to go to an area called Savannah Park, just outside of Chester, the previously Indian area, but it's become mixed. We're happy to go there. So we are starting to build those 6 sites. All the planning is done, the designs and all the different approvals you need. And then Umkumban, it's an area in the Cato Manor vicinity, if you can try to get an idea. That was what used to be called the buffer zones between, you know, the white and Indian areas or so. So 20 of them were willing to go there, and we've got 20 good sites. We had good service sites in Copesville, a previously Indian area, but Comrade said there's no way they're going there, nothing we could do. And then in the other municipalities, like Rain Konyendi, that's previously called the old Port Chepstone area, Alfred Duma municipality, previously called Ladysmith and Kwadukuza, that's on the north coast, they have now given us sites as well, finally. Good sites, so we're able to build for them, except that they are not verified yet. They've applied, but they're not appearing on DMV's list. What is it? Look, we're coming to build for you. Because we want to build, we've got the money, we don't have money to stand. And then, oh yes, and then what Mzunduzi, previously called Peter Marisburg, has done, they have also identified sites just almost in the city center, which they had all along, but were taking long to give it to us. So they've given PTOs, this permission to occupy, to 171 military veterans, all verified ones, but they still have to do subdivision and so on. But we are working with them so we can build those 171. So then, unfortunately, you can see there, that's the house, the show house, that's in a township called Chesterville, the old regulation 293 township. The house was not finished, no, the snag list was not done, not ready for site handover, but this military veteran was not prepared to wait, he moved in. Nothing we could do. You can't see the carport, it's at the back there, so he's got the 50 square meter and his carport is there at the back. So it looks a bit ugly there in the front, but as I say, it's because the site was not ready for handover. And then just in terms of our challenges, if as we originally intended was to build for those living in the rural areas, unfortunately when they realized we are ready to build, they wanted to come into the urban areas, come back to where they originally stayed. So that now delayed a lot of time because it meant finding the sites. Otherwise, you could have just got permission to occupy from the Amakosi and built where they were staying. So now it's a whole relocation issue. And then some of the previously white areas, which are good areas, they were not prepared to go there. Besides the reason I explained earlier, but the second reason was they may have to pay rates which will be too high. And then the last one was that, this one of the 78,000, only 120, that it's too constraining. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Rachel D. Just in time, we must make the comrades aware that there is no more Group Areas Act. They are free to build their houses anywhere in South Africa. Right? Can we then move to... I take it the house, because it was not showing on the screen, the house is the one in on page 6, eh?
Yeah.
Right. Can we have... Orange, no, Free State. Free State. Who's presenting from Free State? HOD or? Okay, hack Free State.
Yeah.
We can go on HOD, but the River Orange is still there, isn't it? Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I
I will not go through the background information, maybe just to highlight a few issues there, because all that is known to all of us. The issue around what the Act entails and what the Act intends to achieve, I will not go through that. And also the benefits, and only focusing on the housing, because that's where our role is as a department, and also to indicate that there has been, in terms of our project, I think one of my colleagues from Mpumalanga has touched also around the subsidy quantum, but I think with us as the Free State, there was an executive council decision that Free State will, over and above the top-up of DMV top-up funding of 78,000 and 110,000, I think there it is, Free State will contribute, will top up with 100,000 rand for the mill gate. And so the subsidy quantum or the breakup is 110 HSDZ, DMV top funding of 78,000 and 100,000 by the province, and build 100 square meter house for the mill gate. That's an executive decision that was taken by the Free State province. Now, in terms of the institutional arrangements that have been created in the province, we have a military veteran desk established in the Premier's office to coordinate and address and identify military benefits, military veterans benefits, in conjunction with a government department. So all other departments are also, we have created a multi-disciplinary intervention to involve all other departments in there. What we have as part of the Provincial Interdepartmental Committee are the following: the Office of the Premier, provincial government departments, including, of course, we are the lead department in that, SANVA, and the provincial DMV, SANVA being South African National Military Veteran Association. So that's the stakeholder committee that has been created by the province. We have forged also a strategic partnership with the Departments of Agriculture, DSTEA being the Department of Economics, Small Business, Tourism and Environmental Affairs, as well as correctional services for greening of military housing programs. So you will see that in every military veteran houses that you have, that we complete, you know, there's greening of that, trees, vegetable gardens, and so on by other departments. I must also indicate in terms of the general performance of the program has not been in the manner that we have expected, because of various other challenges. Okay, maybe Chair, because I'm moving a little bit too fast, just to indicate how many houses we have completed. The 30 houses have been completed in Lorry Park, Mangau, in Metro. That is, it's an area along the N1 next to Emerald, next to the Windmill Casino, just behind that. And we for those military veterans, we have also consumer education. We have conducted consumer education for the mill vets on their rights and obligation, as well as, because most of them are destitute, And the priority has always been that we will first start with non-statutory destitute, and those will be on the first on the line. So the Metro has implemented an indigent policy for them. And we have also appointed the main contractor and subcontractor for Milvest companies to gain a practical working experience. So they are involved in the actual building of their houses. The partnership, I've alluded to that, and the strategy of training, and the provincial military veterans interdepartmental committee. I've spoken about that. I'm not, and who does it comprise of? The desk that has been established. My presentation is going backwards, so the technology is failing me here.
Back to basics.
The technology is failing. Use your hard copy. Okay, the progress, 50 service sites, hillside view. It's an area in Mangawo, it's a mixed housing development in that area. It's a new development. We have been able to secure 50 sites in that area. It's the contractor is on site. It's a project that is ongoing. So we have managed to secure that. In Mukaga municipality, it's in Kronstadt. 10 houses are being built, and 6 housing units are at a completion stage. Mwate municipality, which is Paris, 6 houses have been built, and 5 housing units are at wall plate level. Masilonyane, which is an area, it's Tennyson, which is part of Lejoli Putswa. It's 2 housing units at completion level. We have also developed a military veteran implementation strategy, not policy. That's for correction, it's a strategy to implement that policy. And I'm aware that the issues that have been raised will further be addressed by the department around policy development, as we have experienced some sort of challenges in the implementation of military veteran housing. These are the type of houses that we have built in Ilori Park, the 100 square meter. Which also involves cleaning, and there it's 100 square meter houses with a top up of the 100,000 that I've alluded to earlier. Well, coming to the challenges, Chairperson, is the availability of service sites. That's one of the challenges by the municipality. Service sites, in certain instances, municipalities do give us sites, but they are not service. And the expectation is that we must put services there. That's one challenge that we are faced with. And also, yes, of course, the program implementation is also dependent on municipality providing those sites. And most of, which is something that we have communicated to the department, is that most of the approved are actually, in our case, are statutory, as not non-statutory force members, where we say that's the priority. I think that's something that we have to look at. And the verification of Milvest. We receive the data, the verification, but I think the problem is also them meeting the qualifying criteria, because in certain instances, some of this Milvest actually own houses. You know, we receive the verification, And when we check them against our own system, we find that they actually own their own properties elsewhere. And in certain, in certain instances, we actually go there and take, you know, and take photos of those properties that they own. So this is something that we have to look at the pre-screening should actually happen at you know, before we are giving the beneficiaries. They should actually have been pre-screened beyond the verification process. Intervention areas, the finalization of the military veteran database, I think that's what we recommend, and the alignment of the HSS process with the military veteran qualification area. I think that is all that is important. And conclusion of the amendment of the Military Veterans Act as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, HOD. Take it as Mr. Munyela. Matt? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mkhitz. Can we now have a Northwest? The HOD,
Chairperson and honorable members. I'm told that our presentation is not here, so I will request that we follow the presentation that we distributed. My presentation, I think, will be very brief because I'm not going to go into the background if the chair allows. I will not go into the background and introduction. It's, I think, information that is known and that has already been presented by those who came before me. I will immediately go to the slide that's titled Plant and Delivery Progress. I wish to inform the committee that our target for the current year was 142 units and that we are not progressing well in terms of that. We have divided the progress in terms of the areas where we had planned the units, starting with Mafikeng. Out of the 142, we planned to build 25 units in Mafikeng, but we only delivered 9. And in terms of Ramoser, we planned 60, we delivered 9. The reason for the delivery of only 9 units in Mafikeng is because most of our, I think this will cut across most of the most of these areas. It is the decline that most of the applications have been declined in terms of our set criteria. When we try to qualify them, they get declined. But in Ramotsere, we have not been able to deliver because there we had a problem with with Zamba. They actually disrupted the program as they saying that there could be nothing without them, and they were against the contractor who was appointed, and two, they were also disputing, they are disputing actually, the list of beneficiaries that we have received from the department. So we have a problem regarding that. We had also planned to build houses in the Naledi municipality, and also we have, though we have 13 approvals there, we still are to obtain a council resolution allocating stands for those approved beneficiaries. The only program that has been successful thus far is the one in Matasana local municipality in an area called Tihani, where we plan to build 6 units, and we have actually delivered 6 units. And in Swazaloneke, Mamusa local municipality, the planned units were 5, we delivered 9. And the reason there being that there is no service land where we can construct these houses for military veterans. One of the next slides is about the reasons why these applicants are declined. One, most of the time we find that they are not meeting the third criteria, the qualifying criteria, and that although they are on the list or they have applied, most of them have actually benefited previously, and also most of them are also not on the military veterans database, although they would be qualifying in terms of being military vets, but they are actually not registered on the military veterans database. And some of them, their household income exceeds that of the threshold. Now we have a slide that talks about the challenges. We have summed up the challenge that we are having and the interventions that we are making. One of the challenges is unavailability of suitable land with safe distance for construction. And in this, we are assisting municipalities. We are engaging with the municipalities in this regard. The fortunate part of our department in the province is that we are both local government and human settlements, and therefore we are able to intervene directly in these instances. And the same is the challenge also is on the availability of bus services in other areas and proposed for development. We are also having a problem of training some of the members on the database that we have, and in that regard we have engaged Samba to assist us in taking those members through their association. We also, one of the challenges, and this is the main challenge, it is that municipalities and the associations are rejecting the utilization of the priority list from the department, as they believe that it's, as they say, it excludes other members. They actually think that it is deliberate. We have resolved to handle every situation case as it comes, and we are also allowing members to walk into our offices and to make applications individually. And as I've indicated, that most of the beneficiaries fail the searches that we make for various reasons. But we have forwarded all those lists to the department at DMV and the National Department. And we also have engaged the Registrar of Deeds to make sure that they deregister the beneficiaries from the deeds where, for an example, most of the time you find that they have benefited, but they got divorced and now the person is still appears as having property, but he's no longer allowed to have a property due to the divorce settlement. So the register of deeds is assisting us to do that. Those are the main challenges that we are experiencing in the department. But because we are not performing as we wanted to, we have come up with, we are in, at present, drafting a recovery plan, which we are consulting with the DMV in view of unblocking all the identified challenges, particularly in regard to the list that we are having, and also to deal with the issues that have been raised by some by itself. We are also resuscitating the project of Ramosir Mula, the one that I said Samba said they cannot proceed because they are not involved, and we believe that we will reach some agreement with them. That project is about 60 units, so for us, it will increase the numbers in terms of the target. But we also have appointed a focal person in the department who deals specifically with this particular program, so that we are focused in trying to resolve these particular issues. We are hopeful that that will also assist the department to resolve the issues as they are. But also, one of the other strategies is that we are trying to put in the military guys on the projects that are already running, because what has happened in the past, like this project in Ramosir Mula, was that in Ramosir Mula, it's easy because you've got about 60 people living in one area, so you can have a project for them. But we've got 3 people somewhere else in the province, 2 others somewhere, and so forth and so on. So rather than having them creating a single project for them, our approach is to include them in the existing project, so that we fast track the provision of housing to our military vets. So in short, this is what is happening in the province. I'm trying to avoid what has been said already, because it would seem like our challenges are the same in all the provinces. But this is where I will pause.
Thank you very much, Chudi. Kimadu Mutoko.
Mutoko, yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chudi Mutoko. Can we go to the very last presentation? Eastern Cape. The HOD?
No.
Actually,
I'm the chief director.
Chief director for? Okay. Sure. Okay, chief director.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, honorable members. Still morning. I must have had a long
time. Here in Cape Town, morning is very long. the sun rises in the east, in the Eastern Cape. Director,
I'm not sure. I do have to go and have a hard copy. Remember,
yeah. Okay.
Thank you. And I'm presenting for the Eastern Cape. And my apology from my MEC, as well as my head of department, Mr. Shapley. I won't go through the papers, honorable members, because we are presenting the status, progress, and challenges as guided by the invitation from the honorable members. In terms of background, again, which is slide 6, honorable members, I won't go through that except to mention that in the Eastern Cape, we have a dedicated directorate for military veterans, and I think that demonstrates the seriousness with which we take this program. In terms of the number of veterans, we are standing at 631 currently in the province, and the approach we follow in terms of providing the assistance to veterans, that we either create new projects, but where you've got few veterans, two or three or four, you extend the scope of an existing project. Well, that becomes faster to intervene. But we also assist military veterans through the individual subsidy instrument. If I may go to slide 8, honorable members, which is basically the summary of the key achievements to date. In the last 3 or 3.5 years, we provided 43 military veterans with houses in Wells Estate, in the Nelson Mandela Metro. Also in Makana, a year and a half ago, 9 military veterans took occupation in a project called Mayfield. We have also, honorable members, assisted a number of beneficiaries through the individual subsidy route. For example, Mkabela family in Choloma is in Buffalo City, Toebe family in Timbaza, and also Ina family in Port Elizabeth. And in terms of institutional arrangements, Chairperson, we do have a provincial structure called the Provincial Steering Committee. We are leading or chairing as a province, but working closely with the local chapter of SAMVA. Also, OTP participates in the steering committee. There's also the DMV local person in the province who also sits in the steering committee. And also from time to time, the National Department of Human Settlements and also DMV come and provide support in terms of the structure. I'm now, honorable members, moving to slide 10. And I'll go through the active projects that we're having in the province as we speak, 2016-17. We've got 3 running projects in the province. The first one is Lukanji, made up of 200 units. We have got 67 beneficiaries approved to date. There is a contractor on site, and to date, 66 houses have been completed. We're experiencing challenges here around the availability of eligible beneficiaries, but I'll touch on that towards the end. The next project, honorable members, is Or Tambo, consisting of 57 units, mainly spread out in the rural areas in Or Tambo. To date, we've got 53 beneficiaries approved. There is a contractor on site. We don't have complete houses, but there are various stages, honorable members. 8 of those are at roof level, and so on and so on. And the last project which is active is Chetty, which is in the Nelson Mandela Metro. We've got 70 approved beneficiaries. The beauty about this project is that there's also a cooperative that is constituted by military veterans. And again, we only have one house completed, which was a show house, before the project went for full implementation. And we've got various stages. For example, there are 14 houses at roof level in this project. I must confirm, honorable members, that we are building these houses in line with the MOU, the 50 square meter, and which consists of all the features as prescribed in the MOU. If I may move to the next slide, which is slide 12, honorable members. Besides these 3 projects, we also have projects that are in the pipeline in the province. The first one is in Buffalo City, constituting of 42 beneficiaries. The MEC has already approved funding for that project, and we're in the process of procuring the services of a contractor. The contractors are appointed on that one. And the other project, which the MEC has recently approved a week or two ago, is also in Buffalo City for 179 military veterans. And those 179 have been checked in the DMV database, and they qualify. We are just in the process of procuring services of contractors on that one. That deals with the projects and the pipeline in the Eastern Cape. And in terms of challenges, honorable members, if I may move to slide 14, I think the challenges are similar to the other provinces. The issue of the database was mentioned earlier on. Some of the veterans, although on the ground they claim that they are veterans, but they are not in the database. So there are definite challenges in that regard. But we are constantly engaging with DMV, and also the National Department of Human Settlements is assisting so that we can find solution to this problem. In fact, for your information, honorable members, we will also be descending to the Lukanji project in particular on the 22nd of November with the 3 stakeholders to try and trash that problem so that we can continue and build all the 200 units. The next slide, honorable members, which is the last slide, is slide 15. Again, the DG earlier on mentioned the policy review processes that they are undertaking. Because, again, some of those beneficiaries, if they previously benefited, they are kicked out by the system. If they exceed the 125,000, which is the threshold in terms of income, they are kicked by the system. But the DG confirmed that they are looking at those matters so that the policy may be reviewed. Also, the issue of the fact that, sadly, the dependents of deceased do not qualify. If a veteran passes off, then the dependents will not, you know, receive the benefit. But those are the matters that the DMV and also national departments will assist with. That brings honored members my presentation to an end. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief Director. Just in time. I see that now I'm dealing with managers here. Now, honorable members, I'm sure you have realized that the problems are similar. The reliability and the incompletion of the database and the question of land availability in the municipalities. Now, I'm going to give honorable members this remaining 30 minutes to interact with your reports. They'll advise you, they'll ask you for interventions where you want interventions, and they'll do their comments, they'll also ask you questions. Honorable members, over to you. Honorable Issa, Honorable Bongo, Honorable Koza, in that order, honorable member.
Good morning. Thank you, honorable chair. I think I'd just like to raise a few concerns that I have. Honorable chair, I think the issue of Sanwa needs to be resolved as a matter of urgency. And I think also the policy regarding the rollout of houses and how Sanwa actually is involved in that process. Because we do have a problem with the housing policies and the way of building houses that is already in terms of the national policy and provincial policies. So there seems to be deviations that are needed, and that needs to be addressed because those are policy decisions. The other one is the pre-approved list by the of MVs for housing. There was a clear indication by the department there's about 4,490 people approved already for housing. But as we pick up now from the reports, that the provincial offices, departments are not always happy with these lists that have come through, and Sanwa also is not happy with the lists that have been compiled by the DMV. So what are the actual reasons for the objection that these people that have been approved and supposed to be verified by the DMV and they object to it? Because that becomes an impediment for delivery as well. The other one is, I think, for our benefit as the committee, we have a very good idea now of what's actually happening in the provinces, but clearly monies have been transferred to the provinces. All monies have not been spent for all good reasons. And the unfortunate part, if this money is not spent and it's lying there and it's not being rolled over, it returns to the revenue fund, and the DMV becomes the one that suffers the greatest loss, nobody else. And consequently, our military veterans suffer. So I agree with the DG that this needs to be well coordinated so that if it doesn't happen in one province, the money needs to be shifted to another province that's performing. Otherwise, you lose the money. And I don't think it's a matter of being unfair. It's a matter of using the money to its maximum and for the benefit of military veterans. So whoever performs better and gets the rollout of land for building, that money should be shifted there as a matter of urgency. The indigent policy still poses a problem, and I think the problem is that because we subject the application to the provinces and to local government, which has indigent policies, and it's a different policy regime for DMV. So the vetting should actually take place at DMV, but it should provide all the necessary information so that the provincial departments don't have a problem with lack of contact numbers, lack of information, and where people reside. I think those things need to be resolved at DMV level so that when the beneficiary list goes through, that is the actual approved one, which is not supposed to be then questioned by the provincial departments. If that is not thorough, then of course we're going to always have hiccups. It's a clear indication from the reports coming in that large numbers of military veterans have been rejected because of the database. And therefore I say that if we receive a report that the database is 90% resolved and accurate, it is not true. It cannot have jumped from 30%, 37% to 98%. And I think that is a very, very important priority for the department to resolve. I still maintain, if we want to go into the future, I do understand the NSF and the SF historically, and of course the advantage that should be given to NSF members for being deprived historically, and that they should be put on the priority list. What happens to the SANDF military veterans, the new Defense Force? Do they have all the policies in place and benefits for those who serve in the defense, so that they have pensions, medical aid, or housing subsidies, so that they have own houses, and they don't become also a burden to DMV? So we will prevent the problem going ahead and deal with the backlogs. If we don't adopt that approach, we will only increase the backlogs. So the Defense Force needs to come up also with a solution so that we prevent adding to the backlog. And of course, we're not clear all the beneficiaries that have received houses or been approved. I'm not concerned about the priority of the NSF, and so that is decided by the department. The issue that I have is, why don't we have all CPRs on a database and then clearly highlight all those who are deserving and those who are not deserving? So nobody can say they're not on a database, but they are denied a benefit because they genuinely don't qualify for a benefit, and they should not expect a benefit. And I think there will be dishonesty in this process, as has been indicated. Some people have tried their luck to get houses while they own houses. This is currently happening with RDP houses. People that travel between the provinces and set up in different provinces try to also get RDP houses wherever they go. And so they become new landlords. So I think it is important that we have our IT technology and networking in place, a sound database that interacts with all other databases, and even with SARS, and even with Home Affairs, so we can determine who are those that try to fraud the system. Because the objective is to give it to the most deserving, and we have many of them. I think the DG has addressed a number of issues pertaining to that we also need to address in policy and regulation. Is, for instance, one of the key issues is bonded houses. Is a person the owner of the house or not? The bank remains a title holder until you settle the debt, and therefore you are technically not the owner of that house. If you fail to pay your monthly payments, the house can be repossessed, and you will be without a house. But in terms of the policy of local government and provinces, we have a problem, because if you own the house technically, like you were on a data on the system, and you were connected to a bank, you therefore don't qualify to apply for a RDP or a house for military veterans. So that is a technical issue which we need to resolve, because a number of people have failed on those grounds. They were actually not the owners. They couldn't afford the house anymore, and the house was taken away from them. The issue of, I think, the top-up, I think for our purposes as a committee, we would probably like to know, the Eastern Cape has indicated there's 631 veterans. Now, I'm not sure if that is true, if that's only NSF members, or does it include also other formations, and does it also include those who have moved out of military service of a SANDF? 631 seems a bit low, especially for the Eastern Cape. So I think the figures, if we have proper dashboards, proper systems, then we should be able to say that there are so many people. And every year when people leave the defense, we can get that information from defense. So we can keep it up to date, because every person that served in the force, by virtue of being an ex-military person, a person becomes a military vet. Whether he qualifies or not, we decide that.
Honorable sir.
I think the question I'd like to also raise, the database I've raised, SANBA I've raised, the MVs for province eraser, and then the monies that are outstanding that we're losing and that we're not managing well. I think the last issue that I would like to raise is, of course, the dashboard as you requested before, which is that if we can persist with that, I think it will be a very good approach to it to manage for everybody's benefit. And everybody can see how things are progressing on a quarterly basis. Thank you very much.
By the way, this dashboard should be consolidated in the Department of Military Veterans. Eh? Right. Honorable Bongo?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for the delegation from all the provinces. And thanks for the MEC who's also present. I think this clearly shows how you take this important work of military veterans very serious. Would have loved, Chair, to have almost all MECs because this, in the main, it's a political matter that must be driven at a political level. And it needs the passion of the political heads of the departments of human settlements. But we, however, welcome the apologies. Chairperson, I think the picture that is painted now clearly shows that we have almost similar problems in almost all the provinces. But the reason why I think, Chair, we have called the department in the manner that we have called them is to, we had the sense that there is a lack of commitment, basically, in terms of dealing with the issue of military veterans. And the department, from time to time, whenever it reports here, it says, we've transferred the money. And whenever the department comes with the AG's recommendations and outcomes, they will always get qualified or disclaimed on the basis that they've sent the money and there has never been some delivery and so on. It is good that the Department of Human Settlement is also represented because I think in the dashboard that the Honorable SRO is requesting, Chair, we may need to find get a synergy or a roadmap that comes from the Human Settlement Departments going down to how the Department of Military Veterans and cascading it down to what provinces exactly must be able to do. Because we need to standardize some of these issues. The issue of a quantum, we need not to cause a problem amongst military veterans. If at Free State they will tell you that they're getting an additional 100, and that is not happening in Mpumalanga, that may cause a problem whenever they meet amongst themselves. So standardization in terms of the money that we were giving is very important because it may create problems on the ground. The issue of the database. But I'm happy, Department, that I think we're getting closer to the problem. We're getting closer to the problem because what our researchers chair requests that they do to look at the numbers per province, reconcile the numbers in terms of what has been done and what the department has reported because that will also assist in terms of pushing the database. I know for a fact it's a bit difficult to finalize the database, but I'm quite confident that we were getting closer towards dealing with this problem. In the case that they are raising issues of rates, I've seen in Mpumalanga they have not raised it in other provinces, that if you build here for the military veteran, then it attract rates. But it is my considered view that some of these military veterans do qualify for what we call indigent, indigent policy. So we can't be stopped by that particular matter as a matter of principle, because the indigent policy will kick in. But at the same time, why also we called the departments the way we did is that we need to raise the higher level morale on taking this matter very seriously, because military veterans are crying out there. When you do oversight, in the case at end, I think it's a worst case scenario. They're crying, so they're saying their plight is not being taken care of. So the reason why the department was created is to deal with the dignity of these military veterans before they can even go to heaven, or if there is heaven. So I think we need to make sure that all the departments, MECs that are not here, if they are HODs, must be able to report back to say, this is a matter that is very critical. The military veterans are despondent on the ground. And that despondency is not resonating well with the committee, is not resonating well also with the ruling party. I think, Chair, those are some of the issues. I'm just impressed that there is a report that has been presented, but if we can up the game from the provinces, the report of Mpumalanga, it shows that we're on top of the game, but not only Mpumalanga and these other reports, but I'm worried about KZN. I'm also sensing some unwillingness to deal with some of the problems, because we can't come here and say, on this one, we there's nothing we can do. They are fighting what. We need dedicated officials to go and attend to this matter. The reason why we're calling you now as departments, it's a very serious matter, because we're at the point where we would want to go ourselves to deal with this matter as members of the legislature. If the situation on the ground is very bad, so we need to move with the speed of a mirage in terms of dealing with it. In terms of dealing with these issues, and the issue of land and municipalities, I think, Chair, we may need to have political heads, Comrade Speed, to engage mayors, because this matter must be taken at the political level, every sector, political level, so that the mayor deals with this matter on a very, very, very close matter. I know. In Malahleni, there is also a crisis of these military veterans. Most of them are in Mpumalanga and at the Malahleni. So I think we need to get very, very close to this matter and make this a priority project. And the department at the national level, I think the driving must be very close. So the two national departments must do a dashboard which gives us a roadmap of how do we deal with this matter, and when there is a crisis, how do we get out of it, particularly in terms of this issue of database. Once we sort that matter out, I think we'll be able to move swiftly around these issues of military veterans. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah. Honorable Bongo, by the way, you are also from Mpumalanga, honorable member. The yes. Last for this committee.
I represent the constituency, yes.
Okay. Honorable Khoza.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Bongo is wondering if there's heaven. let me thank the provinces for their presentations. Having listened and picked up the challenges that were mentioned here, it's true. All the provinces have the same challenges. But that needs to go back to the DMV, to the department, because we don't want to see other provinces as if they are privileged, others are less privileged, others are lucky, others unlucky. Hailing from the streets of Mpumalanga, Chief Albert Luthuli Municipality, Comrade Speed, seeing the house that I'm seeing here, I was wondering who this house belongs to, because I've seen it passing by. but when you look at the Free State, look at the house, the nature of their plan, and you compare with the other provinces, the one from Free State, it tops all of them, I must say, looking at it here. That's why this is a matter that must go back to the department. I'm looking, they have a governance structure here. You see, they need to look at the governance structure so that they include other departments as well and other role players, so that when we come up with something, it must be something for all. I mean, for that must be national. It must not be only for one province. On the issues of the scarcity of space or land, you see, you need to include the chiefs as well. The Department of Land Claims as well needs to be included as well. There are people that have claimed land. They got the land is sitting there. You see, you need to engage those people, talk to them. Like, for example, around Albert Luthuli, I know quite a lot of space is sitting there. The chiefs, they are very progressive. You just need to sit down, set up a committee, sit down with them, talk to them. There is space available. And Chief Albert Luthuli, they even gave a space when there was an issue of the capital city of the municipality there as well. It's a pity because of the political instability that did not happen. But that must not only be done in Mpumalanga. It must be done nationally. The departments need to get involved, not only by giving money and then say the province must see for itself. I think that can take us somewhere as well in terms of resolving this. You see, all the time the department is presenting here, we talk of there's an issue about the database. It's true, the database is insufficient. The database is unreliable. Quite a lot of people that are in the database, but when you do verification, you find out that they don't belong. They don't need to be in the database. You see, there are people who are crying day in, day out. They want to be in the database. They have not been included in the database. We also need to do something as well on that regard. Not that we have to point fingers. We know once we say database, it's a problem. You see, it's a problem not only for the department or the province. Everywhere where a database has to be taken, there will always be cries after that. So we also need to come up with a better way of how to verify those people that are in the database. I think if we can be able to deal with that, we will improve more than what we've improved now. Because really, but I also have to say, Chairperson, we do see an improvement in from the department side as well. As Honorable Ponga said, that the reason we've called the provinces, the manner in which we did, it's because we wanted to instill the importance of what is supposed to be done, and that this thing of military veterans, we need really to take some serious steps in terms of assisting them so that we'll deal with the cries that are there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Most of the questions are directed to the department, and it's not the first time that you hear a question of the database. It should be corrected at that level. I take it that in terms of the database, the only reliable database will be from the CPR list, isn't it? The only problem is the one that comes after that. But there was also a question about the new military veterans from the SANDF. What is the position? What are your challenges? Now, if there is any particular question that is directed to any province, the province will be given an opportunity to respond to that. But I haven't seen any in that case. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me start with, let me thank the members for the questions. I think they're useful, and also the provinces for the presentations. Let me start with the database issue. I think we must understand what the specific problems are with the database and also how it affects the delivery of houses. Okay? There are a number of problems with the database which don't affect the delivery of houses. Okay? But as you said, Chair, we have about 71,000 names on the database, and that consists of those who left the SADF, those who appeared on the CPRs of the non-statutory forces, which were submitted in the 94-95 period, those that have been added from the SANDF, okay, and then those that have, a few that have been added from the non-statutory forces since, who were not on the CPR. Then, besides that, there are approximately 30,000 applications that have not been added in the database. Okay? Now, I want to leave the applications aside because they are not on the database, and from the department side, until they are verified, they are not considered to be military veterans. Now, I want to emphasize that point because provinces that build houses for individual citizens who are not on our database are not considered from our side to be building for military veterans. The only people, citizens, that we can consider to be military veterans are those that are of the 71,000 that are on the database. Okay? And we are unable to, in terms of the law, to provide money for people who are not on our database. So we need to be very clear on that issue. And so we, from our side, we are working with the 71,000 that are on the database at the moment. Okay? Anything other than that, DMV money cannot be used for that. I'm raising that because there were some provinces, I think KZN indicated that they're building houses for citizens that are not on the database. In our mind, that's not military veterans. Okay? Now, the second point I want to say is that those that are on the database, the 71,000, that's when we say that the 90 or so percent are verified. Okay? It should be that 100% of those on the database are verified, but there have been, and that's I think what we're raising, some processes of adding people onto the database that we're not happy about. Okay? And we're busy with the process around that. But I want to stress again what we consider to be military veterans and what we consider to be the database. Okay? Now, there is that database, but then we come to the provision of housing and meeting the criteria for our housing policy and the DHS housing policy. And only a subset of those on the database would meet those criteria for housing. Okay? Now that's the complication in the provision of housing, is that we don't know at the moment offhand the people who are on our database, do they meet the criteria for housing? Okay? That is a second verification that has to take place. Okay? Now both in terms of our policy and DHS policy. Now my understanding is that of the 71,000, we've given lists to Department of Human Settlements, and there's an agreement that 4,990 meet the criteria on both sides. So that's the subset that we're looking at when we're dealing with housing provision at the moment. Okay? And that's in our engagement with DHS that we're saying that that is the list that we're working with. So it's not a random list out of the 71,000. It's only that 4,990 that we're looking at the moment to provide houses for. Maybe in future, as we add other names to the database, then we would be able to see whether they meet the criteria for housing. Okay. Now, I can take it that what some of the provinces have raised is that the contact details of the people that the veterans, verified veterans that we give to them might not be up to date. And that's something we need to deal with as the department. Okay? Also with Department of Human Settlements, I think where we're going to go is if we say that our target as a department is in this year's APP is to provide 1,000 houses, then we must identify in the 4990 the 1,000 veterans that should be getting houses in this year. And that is an important process, and I think we're committed to engage on that in the next immediate while. I don't want to give a time frame for that, but we'll have to consider that. But that should be a matter of weeks of identifying those people. Okay. So I think that... I don't know, maybe Dr. Mahapa, if you want to add anything on the database. Let me lastly say that we've taken a management decision on how we're going to deal with the database in general. Okay, we've set up a team of
of DDGs and our head of IT to make recommendations on sorting the database out. That includes a number of things, okay? It will be how we secure the database and we put the database into a format that is able to be used easily by the department and also to interconnect it to the other departments, which was mentioned. Okay? That is the one area they have to look at. The other area is proposed policy to add to the database. Now, this is a tricky area that we're going to need assistance from our stakeholders, including the committee. Because, Chair, you can understand that having gone through the CPR process back 22 years ago, to now add another 30,000 non-statutory force members onto the database would make it would really be to question the criteria that we're using as members, as military veterans to add in there. So we need to have a clear policy and process to sift that number down to people who really qualify to be on the database. I don't want to go into that in more detail, but I would suspect that the real military veterans we would be adding at this stage 22 years later would not be 30,000. It would be, I don't want to give a number, but it would be a very small percentage of that. Okay? So we need to then, that team must develop criteria around that process. The other role, and let me say that those applications we have are coming from military veterans associations. So we also need to convince the military veterans association about the criteria we're using so that we don't fraudulently add to the database. Clearly SUNVA has an important role to play in that, but the team will first advise us. And the team needs to report actually next week on this process to our executive committee, and then we'll take it through other processes. The other area the team needs to report on is kind of the IT issues, like the hardware and the software. I don't think that is the most difficult part of the process. The most difficult part is the first two issues that I'm raising with you. But let me stress again, at the moment when we're looking at housing delivery to military veterans, we're looking at people who are on the database at present, not those who are not on the database. Chair, I think that one of the issues which was raised was this issue of the role of SUNVA and I suppose the other military veterans association. I think that SUNVA needs to be brought on board when we're looking at who is going to get houses. But to maintain an integrity to this process, the main bodies that are dealing with housing delivery must be DMV, DHS, and the provincial departments. We can't allow interference in that process to the point that it stops service delivery and also that people are forced onto databases for service delivery, for receiving houses, and also that the procurement processes are interfered with. Okay. Now, even when we as a department give money to provinces for the top-up, we have a responsibility to ensure that their procurement follows the PFMA and Treasury guidelines. So, we as a department of DMV need to continue to be monitoring that process. So SUNVA must and the MBAs must play a role in the process, but their role can't be to the same as that of the government departments. I raised at the beginning the issue of the policy. I think the policies will unlock some of the new policies will unlock some of the processes. We just need a bit of time to formalize that. What remains a big concern for us, and maybe this is an area that the committee can really assist with, is the money that we've given to provinces in the past. I think if you look at our, I didn't go through it in our presentation, but it's in the presentation, the table on page 4, you'll see large amounts of money have been given to provinces with an expectation to meet certain targets for number of houses, and those targets have not been met. Now we've lost that money. I briefly spoke to the officials from National Treasury just now, but that's put a huge pressure on the department. And I don't know if the committee can help to engage on that matter further, both with Treasury. I also want to continue to engage with them on that. I'm hoping if we can show Treasury that we have got proper procedures and process in place now, they will be more sympathetic on the question of that money. But I don't know about that. Then I take the point about the dashboard, and we'll work on that, and we'll get that to the committee. It would be useful if the committee could define just a bit more detail of how you would like to see the dashboard looking, but we can work on that. And then I think that the other key is the coordination with my colleagues from DHS, and I think we also committed to a process around that. And I hope next time when we come here, you'll see that we're working much closer together and we'll have overcome those kind of problems. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Ozinski. Any other input that the provinces would like to make? Honorable MEC?
Well, I think from what I heard, colleagues, it was more of the advice and the consent. Obviously, as the member of the MINMEC, I'll take the issue and raise their concerns, very legitimately so, to the minister as well to my colleagues. I think the issue on the land availability and the chief's engagement, I think that's what mostly important. And I think we'll do so. We'll as well raise the matter with SALCA, so that the matter is kept. You know, everybody must be interested in this matter throughout, so that this can as well take care of that, our chiefs as well. You're correct, Honorable, because rendering that difficult if they are properly engaged about the availability of land. But I think there's one issue raised here in terms of the standards. Well, we are building 50 square meter standard, how do we decorate it? Probably that's what has been raised. Maybe the matter will have to look to say some areas who have been doing the carport and some no carport, it will affect the structure. I said take the whole amount of money to the structure. Some they said, but I've got a car. How do I deal with the car vis-a-vis the crime that we have? I want all those things. Maybe those are other small issues that might all the time comes in, so that you can say there is no standard. But I think, as understood, what should be the key is that 50 square meter in terms of then the others could be the additional in that regard. But generally, Chair, we are grateful that I think we are presenting this and the concerns are raised. We are empowered in terms of the issues. I agree with the DG that the correlation between both the DMV and the DHS is going to be central, so that as we present and everything is in order. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. That should be bringing us to the end of our meeting. You wanted to say something before I wrap up, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think for the provinces, the issue that DMV would have a concern and also our concern is that if you identify almost 5,000 beneficiaries, Chair, that deserve housing, and this information is then sent to provinces, the issue is there's two parts to it. DMV allocates money for the top-up, but the subsidy that must be approved, that part needs to be also in line. Otherwise, we have a problem of the numbers of people that will be approved for each province. So there needs to be a clear alignment for the rollout, otherwise that could also delay the service delivery. The other one is on the housing. I think hearing from the discussion and the options, It's simply that the person, the architects need to sit down and actually do all the options, housing designs, but it falls within the budget of the military veterans. So if you want it with a garage, you want an extra room, you want this, but there are, say, 3, 4, 5 designs that you can look at. And I think that would quickly resolve the problem. It's not much to be thought about. If you want this or that, you can just indicate. And that can then be incorporated in the rollout as well. So housing design and that one. The other one is just on the, all the options of delivery of houses. I think the DG has indicated those things and it needs to be included in the new in the policy. And also Arms Corps indicated that they also want to roll out houses with DMV. And then we also spoke about the other one, which is the self-help program, not necessarily by contractors, by military veterans themselves that build their own houses. And I think those, all the possible options should be looked at and also not limited only to provinces to roll out. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Look, the question of building houses or making houses available for military veterans or citizens who do not appear on the database. What we should advise the provinces is that, because some of them might be genuine, some of them might not be genuine, is that before you do that, please register those military veterans with the department. You should do those things simultaneously, so that you must not delay service delivery. It's not a big thing to do. The honorable members, we may have to, in the next oversight period, have to go and look at this completed project and then go on site where military veterans companies are working. I think that is what we should go do going forward. And then I'll also ask, yes, in the we may have to call Sanva to come to make a presentation here on the committee in terms of how they see benefits being rolled out. What are their challenges? We don't want some sort of interference and some sort of not understanding each other between Sanva and the department. Sanva has been established by the statute, the Military Veterans Act. So it should be clear as to what is the role of Sanva. So we'll have to call Sanva in the next term program, honorable members. I suggest that we need to call Sanva and understand what is the problem. Then in terms of military veterans, amendment to the Military Veterans Act, that has been in the pipeline for quite a long time. And I heard that the Eastern Cape is raising it. The Free State is also raising it as some sort of an impediment in terms of service delivery. We need to call the department, we need to call the minister, we need to call the deputy minister to come and brief the committee in terms of progress as to how far are we in amending the act, because whether you should amend it or not is not a question anymore in this committee. I think that has been agreed that it needs to be amended. Now, thank you very much. I think basically that will be the next course of action that this committee will take together with you. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah,